Welcome to the Right Division Network podcast, a production of Grace Family Bible Church in Buffalo, New York. I'm your host, Pastor Scott Morton. And we'd like to thank you once again for joining us as we study God's Word Rightly Divided. And we'll be continuing today going through our study of 1 Thessalonians. We're here in chapter number 2, and we've been looking at verse number 3 here, which says, "For our exhortation was not of deceit, nor of uncleanness, nor in guile." Now, in our last episode, we looked at the issue of what exhortation is and how the idea of it's the encouragement of the members of the body of Christ, and how the Apostle Paul lays this out as a very important aspect of what the members of the body of Christ should be doing for each other. Now, as he starts to define this idea of the exhortation or that encouragement, he starts laying out and saying that this exhortation is not of these things. It's not of deceit. It's not of uncleanness, nor is it in guile. And when you look at the things of the encouragement that people offer up for each other sometimes, and when that encouragement is coming from things that are not of God's Word, unfortunately you see things that come across with these things of deceit, uncleanness, or guile. And that's what the Apostle Paul is saying, that this is not anything of what would actually be and what is supposed to be done for the members of the body of Christ. And he starts off with the very first one here when he says it was not of deceit. And when we look at that idea of deceit, we know that from Scripture the idea is that deceit is lying. And the idea of lying starts all the way back in the very beginning, before the fall of Adam, when you have Satan in the angelic realm lying to the angelic realm, presenting this plan of where he thought that he could take over for God, and leads a rebellion in the angelic realm against God, fails, and as a result of that, continues to try to bring about all sorts of different things that are contrary to what the plan of God actually is. You know, he uses deceit and guile to actually, you know, convince Eve to partake of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. You know, these are the things that happen, and when you see what the Scriptures actually say about lying, you see why it is that Paul can say that the exhortation is not of deceit. In fact, let's go over to the book of Psalms. We're going to go to Psalm 119. And we can see this all through Scripture when we look at things related to what it is that it says about this idea of deceit here. And here in Psalm 119, we're going to read here verse number 163. It says here, "I hate and abhor lying, but the law do I love." And here you have the author of this psalm identifying the fact that he hates and abhors lying. And the thing of what he has a love for is the law, which at the time of this writing, that was the word of God that had been given to the nation of Israel. So the author just loves the word of God and hates the things that are identified as being lies. Let's go over here to the book of Proverbs, and we'll go to Proverbs chapter number 13, where again we're going to see this issue of what the Scriptures say about the idea of lying here. And here in Proverbs 13, read here verse number 5. It says, a righteous man hateth lying, but a wicked man is loathsome and cometh to shame. So here you have Solomon talking about how the righteous individual hates the idea of lying. And there's a reason why, you know, the author of that psalm said about he hates lying. Solomon here in Proverbs talked about how the righteous individual hates lying. And this hatred of the idea of lying is because lying is contrary to who God actually is. That's why you see things, for example, the Apostle Paul says, let's go over to the book of Titus. And we'll go to Titus chapter number 1. And we're going to see here as Paul begins the book of Titus. Here we're going to read the first two verses of Titus chapter number 1, which say, Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect, in the acknowledging of the truth, which is after godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. And here the apostle Paul is identifying the fact that God cannot lie. And since God cannot lie, and everything that we know that comes from God is truth based on the fact that God cannot lie, you know, you can see why the author of that psalm, you can see why Solomon are all talking about this idea of hating this idea of lying, because anything that's a lie comes from something that is not of God, because God cannot lie. We see the author of the book of Hebrews is going to say the exact same thing. If we go over to Hebrews chapter number 6, here and in Hebrews chapter number 6, we're going to read here verse number 18, which says, that by two immutable things, in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. So again, another passage clearly identifying the fact that God cannot lie. You know, that's why when Paul says over in the book of Romans, and you see this in Romans chapter number 3, to see where it is that lies come from, and we see this in Romans chapter 3, verse 4, where it says, God forbid, yea, let God be true, but every man a liar, as it is written, that thou mightest be justified in thy sayings and mightest overcome when thou art judged. And Paul can say that God can be true because, you know, we've seen the passages that are identifying the fact that God cannot lie. The word of God is the truth that mankind needs today. That's why the idea of the edification, the exhortation, the things that the members of the body of Christ are supposed to do for each other always has to be centered around the word of God. And a person can only receive that edification and that exhortation when they've put their trust in the gospel message, when they've put their trust in the fact that Christ died for their sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again on the third day according to the scriptures, and putting their trust in that and that alone for their salvation, which gives them their eternal life, then they're going to be able to receive the edification and exhortation that's supposed to come from the word of God, because they're going to be able to receive the truth that's in the Word of God. The unfortunate thing of what happens is that individuals, instead of trying to rely on the Word of God, rely on the first part of what we see here in Romans chapter 3. It says, you know, God be true, but every man a liar. An individual tried to rely on what man says, what certain individuals might be trying to teach them through philosophy or other such things, which are all going to end up, when put to the test of what the Word of God says, it's going to be found to be a lie, because every man is a liar according to what the Word of God actually says. That's why you see what Paul says about what's going to happen related to individuals as this dispensation continues on. If we go over to 1 Timothy chapter number 4, we're going to see a warning that the Apostle Paul is going to give here. In 1 Timothy chapter number 4, we're going to start here, verse number 1. It says, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron." And then in verse 3, he's going to give examples of what some of these things are. "Forbidding to marry, commanding to abstain from meats, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth." And the idea is that there's going to be coming a time that individuals are going to be departing from the faith, departing from the truth of what God's Word actually has for them. And instead of relying on the truth of God's Word, they're going to be shifting into these things of the seducing spirits, the doctrines of devils, the lies in hypocrisy, all of this deceit that's going to be taking people away from the truth of what God's Word actually says. And this is why when you actually look at the instructions that the Apostle Paul gives us, as he lays out the doctrine for us, and then as he lays it out, he then starts to get into some of the practical outworkings of how the doctrine is supposed to work, you see that he deals with this individual related to our relationships and saying that this is something we're not supposed to be doing. In fact, you see, for example, let's go over to Colossians chapter number 3, to where you're going to see the Apostle Paul is actually going to specifically make a statement here about lying here when he says here in verse number 9, "Lie not to one another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds." So in our communication with each other, he says that we're to lie not one to another, that we should not be speaking lies to each other. He says the exact same thing over in the book of Ephesians. Let's go to Ephesians chapter number 4, where he says here in verse number 25, "Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another." So here Paul takes it that step further to say, you know, where Colossians just says to put away the idea of lying, here in Ephesians he's saying to put it away, and as you're putting away the idea of lying, here's what you're supposed to be doing. You're supposed to be speak every man truth with his neighbor. That the things that we're communicating with each other should be in relationship to the truth. We see a couple verses up here in the same chapter. Let's read verse number 15 of Ephesians chapter number 4 as well, when it says, "But speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ." So the idea of speaking the truth to each other is the fact that we're doing it in love. We're doing it in the care that we're supposed to have for each other as the members of the body of Christ. And if we're using the Word of God as our basis to be edifying and exhorting each other, then what's going to happen is we're not going to be lying. We're not going to be using any of these other things, because if God's Word is the truth and it's the basis of what our communication is going to be based on, then our communication is going to be in the truth. And that's why when you see what the Apostle Paul, when he actually talks about what is supposed to happen with the members of the body, he talks about what the will of God is. You know, the will of God is that all men would be saved. So he wants everyone to put their trust in the gospel. But then he also wants everyone to come unto the knowledge of the truth. He wants everybody to have the understanding of his word. He wants everybody to know what the doctrine is for today, to know what it is that they're supposed to be doing to be properly pleasing to God in this dispensation. And that only comes when we're studying the word of God rightly divided, putting the truth in us. And when that happens, what's going to be experienced for us is if we go over to the book of Romans, let's go to Romans chapter number 12, is that something is going to be experienced by the members of the body of Christ related to the idea of the truth coming in. Because we see here in Romans chapter number 12, we're going to start here verse number 1. And it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now the things that are of this world, we've already seen how man is a liar. You know, so if it's the things of this world, what's being put into the individual is the lies, the things that are contrary to the truth that can only come from the word of God. And that's why he says to not be conformed to this world. And it's very easy for individuals to become conformed to this world because as they take in the things of this world, they start to accept the things that run contrary to the word of God. And that's why he has to talk about this idea of a transformation that starts to occur by the renewing of the mind in the individual. That's why he gives that explanation that he does over in 1 Corinthians chapter number 2. Let's go there to see what it is that he says about the word of God working in the individual. And we're going to read a fairly lengthy passage here of 1 Corinthians chapter number 2. I want to start here at verse number 6. It says, howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. For now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Now, Paul talks about this fact that we have the mind of Christ as a present possession. And the reason why we have the mind of Christ listed here as a present possession, because we have a completed Word of God. We have all of the instructions that we need in order to be functioning properly during this dispensation. And what you see the Apostle Paul do is he starts contrasting in this passage the idea of man's wisdom, the things that over and over again he warns people, you know, about not falling into things of philosophy. He talks about things, you know, science falsely so-called. All of these different things that fall into man's wisdom, the things that we are not supposed to be doing, and we're not to be conformed to this world, but there's a transformation that occurs as he talks about the wisdom of God in a mystery, the information that was given to the Apostle Paul, starting with the book of Romans, ending with the book of Philemon. We have that information that's been given to us, and as we study the Word of God, rightly divided, you see what happens here is that the Spirit, the part of the Godhead, is going to communicate with the spirit that's inside of the man to compare the spiritual things with spiritual to teach what it is that the Word of God is actually saying. He also says that the natural man, the man that doesn't have the Spirit inside him, and when I say the Spirit here, I'm talking about, you know, that part of the Godhead in him, the individual who doesn't have the Godhead in him cannot receive the things of the Word of God because it's going to be looked at as being foolishness because there's nothing to compare the spiritual things with spiritual to give the insight into what God's Word actually says. This is the process that happens to create that renewing of the mind that the Apostle Paul identifies over in the book of Romans in chapter number 12. This is why when you see, for example, the Lord Jesus Christ in the book of Matthew, you'll say, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Because it's the idea of what's inside of the individual is what's going to come out of them. So if it's the things that are of the world, if it's the things that are of this deceit, this lying, that's what's going to come out of the individual. So when that comfort is going to come, it can only come from the things of this world, and it can only be a lie. That's why what our responsibility is to be able to take the things of the Word of God to be able to give that comfort. And the only way that we can take the things of the Word of God to do this is by us studying, having this renewed mind, having this process occur. Same way what the Apostle Paul, when he talks about that idea of comfort, we'll go over to 2 Corinthians chapter number 1. Here we're going to read here starting in verse number 3 of 2 Corinthians 1. It says, "Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforted us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God." And I'm going to stop there because you see what it is that Paul is saying is that an individual has received the comfort, that exhortation through the things that are of the Word of God. And just as an individual has received that, the responsibility that the individual has is that they're going to be able to give that same comfort to another individual. And they're able to do that because they're able to present the things that are written in the Word of God. And that can only come when an individual has the understanding of what the Word of God says. That can only come through the renewing of the mind that happens through the study. And that's why we have that responsibility that's part of God's will, that we would all come unto the knowledge of the truth. Now, that exhortation, it also can come along with uncleanness and guile. And we're going to look at those things starting in our next episode as well. So we're going to be continuing on in this thought process of looking at the problems that can come sometimes through the comfort that individuals are trying to offer up. Now, as we close here, I'd like to remind everyone of our website, which is www.gracefamilybiblechurch.org. And on our website, we have a number of study articles. We have some audio files of our Sunday services. We have information about how to join our Sunday services live, either through YouTube or on Facebook. We have information about how to join our Wednesday night Bible study through a conference call option. When I'm teaching, we've been going through the book of 1 Peter, and when Pastor Leroy Reed has been teaching, he's been going through the book of Romans. So we've been looking at some different things on Wednesday night as well. And so, as always, if you ever have any questions, comments about, you know, anything in these broadcasts, anything in the messages that you see or hear through our website, any of the articles, we would love to hear from each and every one of you. And until next time, remember that Jesus Christ is Lord.